Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. And guess who's back?
I'm back from China. I had a great time. I highly recommend if you want to check out the Great Wall in Tiananmen Square.
Dude, you can take that kimono off now.
I have a kimono and a couple of things. But I will tell you, I was posting through a verified personal network, VPN, on Facebook and Instagram.
You've got a file somewhere.
And then, you know, people were posting, you know, like radical stuff and pictures of the tank in Tiananmen Square, and I was deleting them because, listen, bitches, I was still there. Okay, I didn't go there to make a political statement. I went to have fun with my girlfriend.
It's amazing that there was no international incident. Napping and I had a side bet, you know, whether...
Exactly.
You know, there would have to be some sort of a, you know, diplomatic move taken.
I got to tell you, the city, 30 million people in Beijing, and 9 million people in Kelly City of Qingdao, which is right on the ocean. And never once did I feel unsafe. Walking with her or walking alone myself, groups of, Chinese would walk past me, men or whatever, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't even acknowledge me. Like, you know, I'd look over my shoulder. You know, my radar was always up. I'm in a foreign country, a communist country. I stand out. I don't blend well,
you know.
You 6 foot two, 225 pounds, you know.
So round-eyed guy.
Yes, but not once did I feel unsafe, and I would go back. There's no reason for me to ever go back to Beijing again because I saw the Great Wall and the Forbidden City and Tiananmen Square. And I'll tell you what, pretty cool. The food is really good. I dabbled in street food. I ate street food Kelly wouldn't eat, and she was born in China.
That's pretty good.
Well, I figured I was going to be there. Let me be there. One night I heard a little rumbling in my stomach, like day 8 or 9, and I was like, uh-oh. But... It passed, and as you get further and further out of the city, the toilets get more rustic. Mm-hmm. In the hotels and the restaurants, they're regular Western toilets. As you get further into the fringe areas, the toilets are what they call squat toilets. If you've ever been to Egypt or anything, you know what that is. It's just
a hole in the ground.
Two footprints and a hole in the ground, then you have to squat down and do your thing. When you get past the squat toilets further out into the outer fringes, the facilities are basically like outhouses, and if you don't bring your own TP or your own baby wipes, well, then there goes your socks.
Wow.
Okay.
Did you go out that far?
Yeah, we did. We did a little, bouncing around because I wanted to really take it in.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, going with a woman who was born in China in the late 60s, and she, you know, she hasn't been back. She was there 2 years ago, but she left 13 or 14 years ago to come to the United States. It was nice to have an interpreter because just like any other tourist trap, they had round eye pricing and slant eye pricing wherever we went.
Yep.
So if she paid, it was one quarter the price than if I had paid. Funny things you don't see, you know, coming from a melting pot. I was telling Sandy, 6:30 in the morning, I'm outside the St. Regis Hotel and a garbage truck goes by with a Chinese guy driving and two Chinese guys hanging off the back. I'm like, well, there's something I've never seen before.
Culturally,
we see white guys and African-American and Spanish hanging off, but I've never seen a Chinese guy hanging off the back of a garbage truck.
Never, never. We've often joked about that.
Yes.
It's something you would never see except for China.
And the same thing, you pass a construction site, there's 40 guys with hard hats, picks, shovels, and axes. They're all Chinese. And the supervisor with the blueprints, he's Chinese too. And I'm like, Kelly, I find this very weird. And she's like, what's so weird about it? I'm like, well,
they don't have PhDs.
You don't understand. You know, usually the Chinese guys with the slide rule upstairs are figuring out the bearing load weights of the hole they're digging or whatever the hell is going on. And it's my people, the Italians, that are down in the hole with the pick and the shovel and mixing the friggin' cement. You know, it just looked funny to me. But their malls are the same. You know, one thing that really pissed me off is every other street is a Starbucks, KFC, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, Burger King, 7-Eleven. Repeat those six 47 bajillion times.
Oh, man.
Now, I did go into the Starbucks a couple of times. you cannot get brewed coffee in China. You can get espresso coffee. You can ask for cafe Americano or cafe latte, but they don't have brewed coffee. Per se,
like a drip.
There is no drip coffee. So I would get like an Americano, which is two shots of espresso mixed with hot water. And then I'd put a little milk in it. There ain't no half and half. Okay, they don't even know what that is. but you're not going to get it. They're still a tea culture for the most part. I did not go into any of those fast food establishments, although I looked at the menus. They have different stuff on the menu. You know, they have like a chicken thigh sandwich, which I would eat.
Yeah,
you know, thigh's my favorite part of the chicken. But I didn't travel 8,000 miles for KFC.
Yeah,
the 7-Elevens are minuscule compared to our 7-Elevens, and they're not people from India running them, which I found funny as
They're Chinese also.
They're Chinese also, which is weird. You know. And basically the same crap that we have in a 7-Eleven, a lot of prepared foods, you know, like, the hot dogs on the rollers and the stuff.
Did they have hot dogs on the rollers?
Yeah, they have hot dogs on rollers. Yeah, everywhere.
Wow.
And they don't drink cold. They're a hot beverage culture.
Yeah.
At dinner and lunch, they either drink hot water or hot tea. Yes, hot water. In a teacup, in a teapot.
Just plain old hot water.
Hot water. Yeah, they like that. I couldn't get ice in restaurants. They don't really have it. And when you go to a 7-Eleven and get a Coke, it's about 65 degrees Fahrenheit. It was 75 degrees out.
Tepid.
It was tepid, yeah. So but their culture's not like that. Now, Gary Mastrangelo was saying he read something that said the Asian culture has a lower incidence of heart disease because they don't drink cold. Because after you eat like fatty foods, if you drink cold, it tends to coagulate the fat in your system. And your blood. I didn't know that, but I don't know how true that is or not, Dr. Berardi, but look it up.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know. I don't know, but I had a good time. And
I mean, it sounds good, right?
I didn't know that there was a beach in China, and I never saw a picture. You know, they always show pictures of Chinese, like, in Red Square. They never show them. And Kelly's from a resort town, and to be honest with you, Gary, you guys listening, I thought I was in Boston. If it wasn't that there was no mix-up of people, you know, they had an old town, they had a new city, and then they had the wharf area, and they had all the trendy restaurant areas and stuff, and walking around at night or in the morning.
A lot of seafood.
It's all seafood. I thought it was in Boston. Yeah. And it's funny because Kelly has never been to Boston, and when she comes back from China next week, I'm taking her to Boston.
Oh, she's never been to Boston.
No, I'm going to take her. I want to show her because I kept making references to her.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like Boston. And so I had a good time. I got home safe. November, I got to go to Florida for work, ho-hum. In December, I'm going to Greece. Anybody wants to kick in a couple of pennies, I'm going to raise like $1,000 and maybe buy a villa or a village in Greece, depending on the exchange rate.
For about $250.
You want to know the problem is? Well, everybody who lives there will be on the dole for me.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. You
right, they'll all be
that.
On the hook for
oh,
me.
No, absolutely,
I could buy the whole
that.
Village for 1,000 euros, and then it's going to cost me 80 million euros a month to support all the freeloading socialists.
Because it is socialism, and that's how socialism ends eventually for everyone. All right, coming back.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against the state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Okay, I'm pointing.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, W-A-L-D-O-R-F.
You were looking down.
C-H-I-R-O.
You're still on Beijing.com.
Yeah, 12 hours different. Waldorf Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric is a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. He helped Sandy with his shooting. If you or anyone you know lives within 30 miles of Bridgewater, New Jersey, Waldorf Family Chiropractic, waldorfchiro.com. Support those who support us. So, recallsweeney.com, recallsweeney.com, Alex at recallsweeney.com. We're taping a show on a Friday. Yesterday, Sweeney pushed a vote to get the mental health background checks changed. He strong-armed everybody. This is the guy who said he was going to send the state police out to get any of the Republicans who didn't vote or show up, and he was going to force them to come. They all showed up because I guess they're scared shit of him.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And who crossed the aisle and got it to pass? Christopher Kip Bateman from Somerset County, Republican, jackass. Christopher Connors of Ocean County, Republican, jackass.
Yep.
But the big kick surprise, Joseph Carrillos, Republican Monmouth County. Now, Joe Carrillos, we used to say come on the show, Joe. Joe was running for U.S. Senate. He was trying to get the seat that, what's his name has now? Booker.
Booker, yeah.
And Christie endorsed Carrillos. And now Carrillos has been endorsing Jeb Bush for president instead of Christie. So there must be some shit going on.
One progressive over the other progressive.
Exactly, yeah. Fighting it over. But these three guys crossed the line. Now, this is going to go to the assembly next week for vote. And I'm sure Prieto is going to get enough votes for it. And it's going to pass. And what it does is it gives the bureaucrats more discretion to decide what mental health is or what it isn't. Just like we give the judges discretion for justifiable need. So one bit at a time, we chip it away, chip it away, chip it away, chip it away, chip it away. This is what keeps going on in here in the state that we live in. So everybody in 49 other states should be listening to this. Alexander should be on the show next week, by the way, to update us on recallsweeney.com. He has 3 months left. I think he's over the 50% mark now with signatures, the way he's been fine-tuning it now, laser focus with the signatures. But we're going to need your help. So, of course, we get screwed again in New Jersey. I also want to take a minute. I want to thank Knappen and Keith Pantaleone for co-hosting the show with Sandy last week. I listened to the show. I think everybody did a good job. If they didn't, email me and I'll chastise them. You know, I met Keith Pantaleone first time at the NJ Safe Conference, which everybody should have attended. There's a video out now of me speaking at the opener of NJ Safe.
Do they have
Safe
all the speakers
Con.
That you can go and see?
No, it's going to be available on Vimeo pretty soon.
Great.
That you're going to go up. And Keith spent 35 days in jail, you know, and his life was turned upside down, just like Shanine Allen and Brian Aiken and so many others. And he was gracious enough to come on the show, and I think that's wonderful. This Thursday at 9 o'clock, I will be on another group thing on the Kelly File after the Wednesday Republican debates. They want me back on 9 p.m. It'll be live. I have to be there at 8, and they're going to start taping live. They're going to, you know, live. They're going to broadcast from 9 till 10, so I'll be there. On the show, they invited me back. Now it's the producer that's inviting me back, Sandy. So I must have left an impression on somebody. listen, a couple of things. I've made predictions before, and I'm pretty good at my predictions. And a couple of things. We got Chris Christie just said something in the news 2 days ago that being the prosecutor for New Jersey was the best job he ever had,
man,
not governor.
How many times have we said that?
I still say Christie has 1% in the Republican primaries right now. He's staying in long enough so that he can align himself with the top person, and he's going
to
say, I'll bow out, and I'll put my 1% or 2% behind you, and I want Eric Holder's job, baby.
Yeah.
I want to be the attorney, U.S. Attorney General. And he'll be good at it because he's good at that. He's good at putting people away, and he's good at holding grudges, and he's good at pissing people off.
Yeah.
And he really won't have to answer to the president, and the president can use him as the guy with the big stick, and Christie's good for that.
Right.
So,
except Christie is not a gun-friendly guy at all.
Oh, no, we're going to be screwed on that aspect. But I've been saying it forever.
Yeah.
And it's funny that 2 weeks ago was UN week at in New York City.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out.
And the election is going to be held in late 2016 for the UN Secretary General to see who exceeds Ban Ki-moon.
Just in time for Barack.
And I've been saying it, that Barack Obama is going to be the ninth United Nations Secretary General.
Yeah.
And the elections conclude on the 31st of December of 16.
Interesting.
And it's the same time the new president gets sworn in January something of 17.
Right.
And I've been saying this for a long time, and Barack Obama's got the funny name, and he's got the Kenyan roots, and he's a radical Islamic sympathizer. I'm not going to say Muslim sympathizer, because I'm not saying Muslim. I'm going to say radical Islamic sympathizer.
Well, there is a big difference, I think.
Correct. And I've been saying it for a long time. You remember we had Kofi Annan and Sun-Young Duck Moon or whatever, and now it's Ban Ki-moon. And now we got Barack Hussein Obama.
That's
I'm telling you, he got what was the trophy he got when he was elected president? He got the trophy for being the first half black president. What was it? Not the Pulitzer Prize. What did he get?
The Nobel Prize?
That's it. The Nobel Peace Prize.
We
still don't know what for.
Well, for peace, the Nobel Peace Prize he won. He didn't do anything.
He's like president like 8 hours.
Exactly.
Okay, didn't even get keys to the White House cut yet. And they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize. Like, what did you do? I didn't do shit.
You know, it's like, forget that now. The Nobel Prize, you could just toss it right out.
But now he gets to be like the head guy in the UN. I'm telling you, he's going to be it.
He's going to be the shit.
That's
what he wants to do.
I'm telling you, I predicted it a long time ago.
I'd wage money on that with you, my friend.
Yeah, and if we go back on radio shows, I said this 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if we go back on radio shows, I said that Christie, I think it was 2 years ago, I said that Christie wants to be the U.S.
Agent,
Attorney
yeah.
General.
Right.
And
because he knows he can't be president.
Yeah. But he can, listen, one
I
or
bet
two.
You he can. He thinks he can still have access to, that's going to be part of the deal. Can I still have access to the White House chefs?
Ah,
then he's.
But let me tell you something. 4 or 8 years as AG put him right in position to run for president again with national notoriety, national recognition, especially if he goes in and gets rid of a lot of corruption.
Yeah, if he does a Rudy Giuliani.
You know what I mean? It could work out to his advantage. So, because if let's say by the time we get to November for the elections of next year, let's say, well, whenever the primaries are over, let's say Christie goes from 1% to 5 or 6%. If you have a Trump that's got 23%, and he knows that he can get Christie's 5% to bring him up to 28%, he'll cut a deal with him to be AG. What do you care?
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure.
Watch.
He's the art of the deal, as he reminds us every 15 minutes.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have 3 times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape.
When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom. And go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
This segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Ron Sousa, thank you so much for letting the ladies use the place for the SAW group for their holiday party. I will be stopping by. I am going to be the food taster at the party. And then I'll be going somewhere else. But again, this is the type of guy Ron is. The girls need a place. Boom, bang, boom. Guess what? They get a place, and he lets them use it because that's how we all roll together.
Absolutely.
All right, and I got to love Ron for that. So it's Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com in Montville, New Jersey. Again, get yourself out of the coffee house or whatever, and for professional environment, for as little as $58 a month
you
to start.
You can't beat that.
And you
got
to stop and see the place, really. You really, really have to stop the place.
It's a beautiful place.
He runs it great, and the staff there is nice, and I have a meeting room for up to 70 people. And again, he's letting these guys use it for their party, you know, and that's what we want to see. We want to see people helping each other and keeping it in the family. And guys like that will never, ever, you know, turn their back on us. We all get along. And Ron has been in some diversions right now. I believe he's in love or whatever, and he's traveling a lot, and he's not shooting as much. But if we need him, guess what?
He's
still there.
Yeah.
All right? Now, staying with New Jersey, if you get an NRA magazine, you got your candidate endorsements for the elections. You can also go on the NRA Political Victory Fund website and pick it out. But basically, I'm looking at it, and it basically spells out WEREFUCKED for New Jersey. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, because almost all of them are it's incumbents that are going to be entrenched that are almost impossible to get out. So I don't know what we're going to be facing when Christie's gone and either Fulop or Sweeney are going to be hanging around for us. But vote Freedom First November 3rd.
And Loretta Weinberg with her confiscate. And now she'll have a yes man in the.
Guess what? People are starting to wake up. You know, I'm a member of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and the NSSF will not give me, in my range, a 5-star rating because I won't change my Gun for Hire logo with the eye shot over in a pool of blood.
Because it is offensive.
It's offensive, yeah, because we're everything's politically correct now, the pussification of America. So I can't get a 5-star rating, so I gave myself a 6-star rating and stick it up everybody's ass because I could give a shit, but I'm still a member of the NSSF because it allows me to go to SHOT Show every year. We have insurance through them, like if OSHA was to come in or whatever. But they did an article about the Hispanic Revolution. And Gun for Hire Radio has been talking about this for 5 years.
All of a sudden now they wake up to this fact?
Well, I'd like to see this in the NRA magazine.
Yeah.
The Hispanic or African American or first generation immigrant revolution.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And I'll give credit where credit's due because, you know, Zach Snow and the guys at the NSSF, there's a few of them I like to punch in the eye because they're pussies and they want me to change my logo to change the rate so they can get a 5-star rating on my range. I won't do it. But you look at this and they talk about the population, all right? Hispanic population is 57 million strong and they carry $825 billion of consumer buying power in the United States and it's expected to grow to $1 trillion by the year 2019. Well, no shit. They surveyed a couple of thousand Hispanics about their buying power and everything. That's been the secret to my success. My doors are open to everybody. I'm not prejudiced. Mm-hmm. I hate everybody, right? The Saw group comes in. Tony Simon, what his diversity shoots come in. Every size, shape, and color walks into my establishment like Noah's Ark. I turn my back on no one. I answer their questions. We embrace them. We make them a part of the family. We put them into the fold, and they bring their friends and their families and their coworkers, and it continues to grow. So at least the national industry like the NSSF is starting to get it. Now right. We need the NRA to start to get it.
Well, that's a 200 year mindset, you know.
Correct. But we really need to make changes because this is our future. Let's face it.
Well,
the
that's
largest
more,
growing segment.
Isn't this more representative of what America is? America has been a melting pot. You know, we see it here on the Northeast more than I think in the Midwest. But, you know, we see the changes happening here fast. I mean, for our whole lifetime, I think, Ed, right? We have always been pretty diverse culture.
I grew up in a racially diverse neighborhood in Newark.
Right.
It was Jews, Italians, Germans, and blacks. I can still say blacks because I'm 54 years old. Believe it or not, there was not much Spanish exposure to me until I moved to Belleville a little later, like in high school, which was and we had junior high, so it was 9th, 10th, 11th. So it was 10th, 11th, and 12th. There started to become an influx of Caribbean Hispanics
okay,
in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But where I grew up in Newark, there was no European or Caribbean Hispanic people, to be honest. I didn't have any exposure to
that.
But
you had a big Portuguese influence down there, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was a different area. I grew up in the North Ward of Newark, and we walked everywhere
Italians,
as kids.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
So we had Italians, Germans. There was a huge Jewish neighborhood, and again, blacks, and we... You know, this was post-riots, and everybody was living and got along well. I went to school with a full palette of racially mixed. Obviously, it was probably 70% white and 30% of the other mixes. But, again, back then, we weren't pussified. We could make stereotypical jokes.
Oh, and, of course, yeah.
Only thing that was off limits was mother jokes.
Yeah,
that's
mother
a great
jokes.
Way
you
to get a black
yeah,
eye or a broken
or
nose.
Worse, yeah.
But, you know, I just... I see this Hispanic revolution, and I'm like, wow, at least the NSSF is starting to wake up. But, you know, I've been saying a long time the NRA is saturated at 4.5 million, 5 million members. And if you want to increase those numbers, you need to go after the people of color and you need to go after the females. Because if your membership stays at 4.5 million, that means you're getting new members and you're losing members on renewals. That means you've saturated that market.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the Sherry's and the Sandy's out there with the Saw Group, and you need the Tony Simons out there
right.
with the diversity shoots. But you know what? We could use some national help instead of just Gun for Hire and local sponsors stepping in and helping these organizations out and Ron Sousa helping out. You know, it would be nice if the NRA and the NSSF would just start to do something.
Right, to support the diversity shoots and that sort
you know,
of thing.
And like I talked about when I was on the Education and Training Committee, that they should have an inner city liaison
exactly.
or a committee, yeah. and they should have an Hispanic or first-generation immigrant committee. And again, you know, you go in these people's neighborhoods, and I'm not saying it in a derogatory term, but if you go to Passaic and you have a large Hispanic community, you get a couple of Hispanic people like Rob Lopez that love to shoot and speak the native
mm-hmm.
tongue, and you get them to go in there and organize a free shoot
of
at
course,
my range
right.
or something and get it to grow. But again, if you have the NRA and national sponsorship behind you, and you'll sign these people up, as members, and you know, before you know it, you'll be printing an NRA magazine out in Caribbean Hispanic or something,
right.
you know, man.
Well, you know, look at our own Jose Morales in Philadelphia. Got to be almost 100% of his clientele are people of color.
Correct. Did you see what's going on next door to Jose?
No.
Oh, heeding God's call. Brian Miller's outside.
Is he really?
Uh-huh, because the gun range next door is applying for a license to sell guns. He doesn't sell guns.
Right.
And they're picketing outside, heeding God's call, because he's two blocks from a school and across the street from the police department, so he shouldn't be selling guns. Yeah, it was on the news last night.
Oh, man.
I didn't put it in the reader. I just wrote it down by hand. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right outside Jose's place. You can see Jose's place. We might as well talk about it now. Philly Gun Training, Philadelphia Firearms Training, PhillyGunTraining.com. Jose has his boutique training facility, and right around the corner is the gun range. It used to be Calissimo's.
You're right.
And the owner of the place is like, you know, he's like, well, it's like I have, you know, I have a bakery and I'm not selling donuts. You know, I have a gun range and now I want to sell guns. Oh, no, it's too dangerous. You're two blocks from the school and you're right across the street from the police department. Seriously, how does this make sense?
You can't make this shit up. That's incredible.
And he's out there. Crying Brian is out
Crying
there.
Crying Brian.
Heeding God's call. Well, they're PA-based now.
Right, they're PA-based.
Maybe we can get some feedback from Jose for next week's show.
I think he moved across the PA line so he could carry.
Crying Brian.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're out there. But it's funny how, you know, like, probably within 500 feet of the school is probably an opium or crack den or something.
Oh, absolutely, right outside.
And drug deals going on, and gangbangers with guns in their waistbands, you know.
The gun range is across the street
from the police department and two blocks from the school. Has anything happened?
Not just the police department. The police department's only gun unit is directly across the street. So.
What better place to sell guns?
Exactly, right. I mean, that's a built-in market. All the cops got to buy guns.
In defense of the uneducated, when I was opening up Woodland Park Range, one of the higher officials, elected officials, came to me and wanted me to write something up because I had discussed this 3 years ago, but they wanted me to write something up because they had a concerned resident that wanted to know what was our procedure that when our customers were coming in the parking lot, if their gun was to fall out of their bag and fire and hit the school that's about a mile and a half down on the right.
How do we prevent that?
Like, what are we going to institute or implement to prevent accidents like that happening? And when the elected official came, I explained to him about New Jersey's gun laws and transportation and policy and procedure. And then he watched the ebb and flow of people coming in. He's like, all right. He goes, I know how to answer the resident now, because he didn't understand either. So they think that, you know, like our guns are just laying around in our trunk, and, you know, as you're walking in, one falls out,
like
a bag of rolls that's overfilled, and one just falls out.
It goes off and shoots a mile down the road and hits a kid coming out of the school bus.
Or the school.
Goes through the school. Yep. All right. We'll be back. Everything I do gonna be funky
from now on. Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And this segment is brought to you by me, Anthony.
Okay, boy, you're in rare form.
Good news?
Yes, you got sleep on the plane,
good news.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. Kathleen Kane,
yes,
the PA Attorney General, is writing an outline of her duties.
She's no longer a lawyer.
Well, her license got suspended, but she's still proclaiming her innocence.
Of course.
She says she has emails of pornographic stuff of highly elected officials and appointed officials in PA, and she's going to release them down with her.
Oh,
okay?
I see. So there's your first-term Democrat for you, huh?
Yes. Let me tell you something. Joshua Prince, my pal, who's like the Evan Knappen of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. He's a judge
here
now.
Here comes the hate mail.
By the way.
He doesn't know, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't care.
He doesn't.
He's a part-time judge.
He is.
And I think, you know, a couple people sent me one. What do you think? Ding dong, the witch is dead. Well, it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah, right. You've got to remember, that's a machine, the Democrat machine in Pennsylvania.
To refresh your memory, she was the elected attorney general whose first thing she did was she snapped a reciprocity between Florida and Utah CCWs, non-residents,
right,
with a signature.
Yep.
And so
executive
now,
order, like our president.
Executive order, yes. Exactly. And so we got screwed with that, but now she's in trouble, all kinds of indictments. She said under oath she didn't sign a secret pact, and then they searched her office and they found the secret pact that she signed.
Why would you keep this shit in your office then?
She hired Pennsylvania state troopers to intimidate competitors, people that she felt
political
threatened by or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, holy shit.
Yeah.
Go dig stuff up on him. She had assistant prosecutors doing all kinds of shit.
They did it. So shouldn't they be prosecuted
all in trouble.
Also? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's a big
Well,
it's a
nothing
big thing.
Like that ever happens in New Jersey.
No. No. Boy, I'd like to hear what Christy has to say about Joe Carillo's, man.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if you're going to hear
anything. Let me tell you something.
It.
You know, we have a radio show here, and I talk about Christy, but I do realize that for the past 7 years, without Christy, we'd be triple screwed.
Yeah.
All right? And I've given him credit where credit's due. Every time he stepped forward and vetoed the bills, and he talked about mental health. So don't think I'm all knocking him. I realize that he's a progressive. I realize to survive, he has to be a Democrat wearing a rhino outfit, you know, and I've been tough on him, but you know,
we ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh no, we haven't seen anything yet because we can't get people off their effing barca loungers to go vote.
Oh, exactly right. Not even to get off and vote. They won't even show up at events. The first ever Second Amendment event in New Jersey.
What a great event, too.
And it was a great event, but there should have been 30,000 people there because we have a million gun owners
Correct.
In the damn state.
Correct. The next one in North Jersey will be bigger next year, but you're absolutely right. It's just, it's horrible. It's apathy. You know, we had another cop killed in New York.
Yes.
And the guy that killed him was released early by a judge.
Of course, because he was, you know, just a drug offender.
And this is one of my guys, Joe Yu, sent me this. And he's a law enforcement officer, and I can't use his last name. But he wrote, Officer Holder's murderer was recently sentenced to a drug diversion program rather than jail time for crimes he committed in the past. This barbaric act of murder clearly articulates that our drug courts should be abolished or enhanced for recidivist offenders, violent or not. I truly believe that drug addiction is a disease which has been scientifically and medically proven. However, drug addicts who carry out criminal behavior, violent or not, should be incarcerated just like the rest of our general population. Having a disease should not give you a pass on incarceration. Drug offenders today are relying on the notion that lawmakers are pushing for a criminal justice reform that will cater to them by placing them in drug programs rather than in jail. This type of reform will not benefit our society as a whole. The bottom line is Officer Holder would still be alive tonight if his murderer had been sitting in a jail cell instead of walking the streets.
Absolutely right.
And we talk about this all the time with our catch and release and revolving door system. This guy chased this shitbag for three blocks or whatever. And, you know, it had to be an odd shot. The guy shot while running and, you know, hit him right in the head with the bullet, God forbid. But this happens all the time, and catch and release,
right.
Revolving
right.
door, criminal justice system.
Right,
and,
but they persecute the illegal gun owner instead.
Correct. And I'll tell you, it's not going to change. It's going to get worse as the progressives and the liberals and the socialists continue to move in. You know, we got a socialist north in Canada now.
Right.
And, you know, Bernie Sanders is looking good, right?
Yeah.
Once Bernie Sanders gets in and gets your company to raise your pay, you're going to have 52 weeks vacation.
Exactly right.
Well, he's going to fix everything. Don't worry about it.
Of course he will, yeah.
So, yes, Officer Holder would still be alive if we did not have a revolving door system. Anthony's been saying for 5 years we need to start judging the judges as well.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly right.
And whatever judge made decision to release him early should probably pay a penalty or get some points on his judge card or whatever it is.
Unfortunately, there is no recourse, is there?
No. No. No.
You know, they can make bad decisions all day. Look, I get it. You're human, right?
Yes.
But the system itself is just flawed. It's seriously flawed.
You know, the other thing is, damn. Oh, we've gotten a ton of emails from people that were not live on Stitcher Radio anymore.
Yeah, we've got something out to Jose, but I guess now
we don't
since
have control on it.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't have control of Stitcher. Stitcher goes out and aggregates all podcast and radio shows and puts them up. So you techie people out there, if you want to contact Stitcher or the Stitcher app, please do it, because ain't nobody got time for that shit.
Yeah, we just, okay?
We're not in charge of Stitcher. We load it up in an RSS feed, and then I post it on some social media sites, and then Android and Apple iOS, Jose puts those up.
And there are other feeds. I mean, there are other apps. You know,
and I'm not familiar with them all. I'm not a techie guy. I listen to the show as we're taping it, and then I never go back and listen, although I listen to you, Knappen, and Keith coming home from China, and you guys did a marginally acceptable job.
Marginally acceptable job. Well, there are other apps, and what we'll try to do is get Jose to post up what those apps are on gunforhireradio.com. We can even put it through our social media feed, too.
Correct. Now, the other thing is New York State just had a loss and a victory challenging the SAFE Act.
Mm.
Tom King from the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association.
Good man.
Yes, the NRA backed up the case, and there was some things written in the case that now probably going to be picked up by the U.S. Supreme Court to show what violations of everyone's rights in New York State is to the with the SAFE Act. So we're going to see what happens with that. The other thing is, I feel that we're in trouble now because the New York Times just published a thing that we need to stop going after assault weapons. They talk about the assault weapons myth, and this is in New York Times. And New York Times basically saying you need to ban handguns because handguns are what's used in all the crimes. Where, you know, for the longest time, the Brady campaign, everybody else, they're all fixated on AR-15s and AK-47s.
Because they couldn't get handgun control passed. They tried it under the Clinton administration.
And these guns are used in, like, zero crimes, pretty much.
Right.
And so I'm like, damn, if the Times gets it, we're really in trouble now.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? We had a really good thing going on for a while, but But
they're going to go back out after handguns again. That's why it's important, you know, and we say this all the time, every single week, each one reach one. It is important for you guys to go out and get other people involved in the shooting sports. Get them even listening to the show. And post the show, post links to the show on your Facebook page. Get people who normally wouldn't be exposed to shooting to sit and listen. Take them to the range. I know that's a big stretch, and I know everybody's got a busy, busy life. But if we don't increase our size and numbers, the media is the only thing that they're going to have a reference point on.
Mm.
And the media was the one, literally, who is responsible for making the AR-15
Correct.
And the M16 and any other quote-unquote assault weapon the issue. And people only hear what they hear, the average person. Look at the question you had here when you were opening the range about the bullet flying a mile away.
Out of the drop bag.
Out of a drop bag. It just, like, it does happen a lot, you know.
Oh, yeah, you read about it all the time.
All the time.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I still have some Chinese gas, I think.
Is that what that is?
Coming through, yeah. It's if you guys ever go to China, you ain't getting on no internet either. So
Right. That's very true. Yeah.
Everything's restricted.
Yep. Interesting for communism.
Some advice for Jose. If anybody from Heating God's calls on your sidewalk tomorrow, Just get a 3.5-inch fire hose and hook it up to the hydrant and knock them bitches into the street. Well,
clean the sidewalk off.
Knock them bitches into the street.
Oh, dude, I got to go down there now on the on Saturday and Sunday just to see them, see the crew.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
And this segment is brought to you by me again.
You again.
I want to, I don't have anything written, prepared. I'm going to share some experiences with you, international travel, domestic travel, whatever. Some travel safety tips, because people go away, and I have one, two, three, four, or five trips planned for the next 6 months. Well, the floodgates are open. I ain't supporting any shipbirds anymore.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's a wonderful thing. I was
an extra appendage.
I had two. I was supporting two extra families, including my own. Yes. Four kids total.
Yep.
Now it's just me and Winston.
Yep.
So a couple of things. I flew international. I use a dispatch bag or a MERS or whatever you want to call it. And I've talked about this before. The company is called PackSafe.
Yeah,
PackSafe. PackSafe. One word. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them online. And I use their 300 bag. It's called. It has wire, chicken wire mesh under the bottom of the bag. A popular thing in Rome is a woman will sit to your right and a man on your left will, with a sharp razor, cut the bottom of your bag and all the contents will fall in his bag.
Cool.
Pretty smart, right?
Yeah, very smart.
So PackSafe prevents that. The other thing is PackSafe, your shoulder strap, both sides of the shoulder strap.
And in Naples, they just cut your arm off. So it really doesn't matter.
My back hurts. I'm going to stand. The other thing is the shoulder strap that goes over your shoulder has a cable running through it, two cables in the outer perimeter of the strap.
So nice.
The strap can't be cut that easy. It has RFID protective pockets inside. And it has a thing for bottles, one for an umbrella.
And the RFID thing so you can get your credit cards in without getting them swiped.
So they don't get stolen. Yeah. And one side of the shoulder strap comes off so you can attach it around like a table leg or something. So somebody can't just grab it and run with it like you're sitting at a restaurant. This is what I wear. Now, when you go into a bathroom and you sit on a commode, you can put it over your neck.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about it hitting the floor. You don't have to worry about anybody reaching over from the hook in the bathroom and grabbing it. We've discussed this before. Now, they make 9 million variations, 9 million colors. I just have the 300 Metro bag, it's called. And I bring it everywhere I go. Now, when Kelly and I were going out to the sites every day, I didn't carry the bag with me. I use it as like a carry-on.
Right, for
like,
the
like
plane.
A purse.
But you could.
Yes.
I mean, if you could walk through
but
the city.
But that's not me. It's not me, but if it's you, that's cool.
Did you carry anything like a fanny pack or anything?
No, nothing, nothing. And because I couldn't carry anything with me, I wouldn't even bring a knife. You know where I was.
Oh
but,
my God! Yeah.
The other thing is, before I left, I have a Dropbox account. I took a picture of my driver's license.
Very smart.
Took a picture of my passport.
Yep.
Took a picture of my Chinese visa. I took pictures of my hotel reservations, my flight reservations, and everything. If I was to get robbed in all my electronic devices, I could log on to any computer and log on my Dropbox and
print
out a
copy. Could you get the Dropbox
copy.
From Beijing?
Yes, you can.
From anywhere or just from hotels?
From anywhere where there's a Wi-Fi, Starbucks or a hotel. But if you're going to travel like that, you want access to a Dropbox, you might have to use your VPN. You might have to activate a VPN. I don't know if you don't own a business, if you can do that or not. But take pictures of everything. For you people traveling with children and other people, take pictures of each other every morning. If you get separated of your child, you're not going to show them a picture sitting on Santa's lap from 11 months ago.
Right.
You're going to say, this is Timmy. This is what he's wearing. This is what he looks like. When was this picture taken, ma'am? 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
Okay? Every day, make that a habit, all right,
yeah.
of taking pictures of your kids.
Nice family photo.
Correct. Now, when I got to the airport, so I wear this bag over the sling. I didn't have a carry-on bag, per se. I hate a carry-on bag unless I'm going overnight or something and I'm not checking luggage.
Sure.
If I'm checking luggage, all I have is that bag. Now, in that bag, I had my phone charger. I got my phone, I got my iPad, I got everything in there. Now, when I'm in the line for TSA, if I don't get I didn't get pre-approved, I take my belt off, my watch, I put everything into that pack safe, and that's what I throw on the belt to go through security.
Oh, perfect.
I just hold my boarding pass in my hand.
Right.
Money, everything, I put in that one thing. So now I check my bag. I don't want to carry on a bag. I check my bag. When I pack my bag, I take a picture of my bag open, my luggage.
Because
if security tosses it or there's something missing, I have a picture of when I left.
Right.
And when I get to the hotel, I flip it open. I can kind of tell if it's been rustle through or not. So that's another thing I do. And I put them all in my Dropbox. So now when I'm at the airport, my bag never leaves contact of me, my wheeled bag, ever. Okay, because thieves will distract you and put another bag over the top of it. They will distract you and wheel it away or whatever. If I'm waiting at a carousel and I have Kelly's bag next to me, I have contact of Kelly's bag while I'm waiting for my bag to come off the carousel. That's how I do things. My luggage is red with black accents. Everybody else's luggage is black.
Right.
When my luggage comes off the carousel,
you know it.
There it is. Okay. And I paid less for that luggage because it was ugly,
it was
red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Like I give a shit.
Right.
Because people are going to throw it anyway.
Right.
It's going to sit on the tarmac in the rain while they're loading a plane.
Right.
Get on a plane safety. I don't normally take my pack safe and put it in the overhead compartment. I usually keep it with me. It has a little thing to hang it off the hook of the seat in front of you.
Right.
I'll put it under my seat or forward of me during takeoff or landing, but I kind of keep contact with it all the time. I even take it with me to the bathroom. But like I flew home from China alone. I really don't want to leave my bag unattended.
Sure. Yeah,
it only
right.
takes a second
That's it.
For someone to grab your stuff. Normal procedure, foreign country. I get to the hotel, I check in. They shouldn't say your room number out loud. They wrote it on the card.
Right.
Go up to my room.
Even in China.
Even in China. Well. They wrote it on my card. I go up to my room. I open the door as soon as I get in. I put the bottom lock and the top lock on because I don't want somebody to come in and strong arm rob me a minute later. Second thing I do, I open my luggage. Looks like the picture. I take out the little round Band-Aid. And I stick it right over the peephole. Now, I stayed at the St. Regis in Beijing. They didn't have the traditional peephole. They had the little metal thing that swivels over.
So you didn't
glass
need to do
lens.
That.
I didn't need to do it. The Westin in Qingdao, I had to put the piece of tape over it.
Right.
When I went to bed at night, I take one of my used bath towels and I put it in front of my hotel room door. Why? Muffle sound. Prevents them from using the tool to come under the door to unlock the safety hasp to get into my room and rob me while I'm sleeping at night. Number three, when there's fires in hotels, people die first of smoke inhalation. That damp towel under the door will prevent smoke from coming into the room. Okay.
Perfect.
And again, it muffles a lot of noise. Ambient noise in the hallways doesn't bounce under that 1-inch cut that they put under that door.
Right.
every night that I went out, anytime Kelly and I went out, I leave a TV on after housekeeping. If we went out for dinner or something at that night, I leave a TV on to a random channel. Don't leave it on to the channel that turns on that plays over and
right,
over again,
sure.
The hotel info. Because
right.
If I'm
that
listening,
everybody knows.
I know you
right.
Ain't there.
Right.
All right. Make sure you do that. Now, when you're going to go out, have your hotel fetch a cab for you. All right. When you eat at a restaurant, have your hotel fetch a cab for you. I'm not big on this Uber thing yet. I know everybody's using Uber, but they just convicted a guy of raping a girl.
You knew
who's
that
an
was
Uber driver.
Happen, sure.
You know, it's easy to fudge your background. I'd rather go with the professional guy that has the ID. Not that you're not susceptible
right,
to crime,
course.
Too,
right.
But, and you know, people have gotten into cabs that weren't cabs.
Right.
And I'm in a foreign country.
Right.
Okay?
Right. You don't know what a yellow cab looks like
exactly.
In a foreign country.
And,
right.
And their cabs, the hotels have, they had French Citroens that were black with a medallion on them. And then the regular cabs were like a blue and yellow or a green and yellow cab, depending on the company that owned them. But so we're at a restaurant. We finished eating, and I had flashcards that I never had to use because I had Kelly with me. All
right.
But Kelly would say to them, can you call us a cab? And we found out there's an app. It's called Didi in China for cabs.
Oh,
so
cool.
We ended up using the app on Kelly's phone, which worked in China. My phone didn't work for China. Net.
It's because Kelly's Chinese.
Correct. So she would fetch the cab on her app and a legitimate. And when the cab verified, just like Uber, it would tell you the license plate number. So the car that was pulling up, you knew.
Was the.
That, and it was that they were actually cabs. It wasn't Joe's Chevrolet or something. It was a cab.
Yeah, right.
And the license plate matched the confirmation and his ID was hanging up. And a lot of the cabs had video cameras like in Vegas over the rear view mirror video of what's going on. So these are some safety issues, you know, and my head was always up. I had a tactical pen with me. I keep that in my pack safe. It always goes through the security. Every once in a while, they'll take it out. They verify that it writes, and they stick it back in my bag. It's like Smith & Wesson.
Did they do
one.
That over there?
No. Either way, it went through both ways.
Wow.
Which is good, because you need a pen, because if you're traveling internationally, you have to fill out the immigration card.
Right.
And it's nice to pre-fill it out, because they usually, you go right to a line, and
right.
The tables are there, and you end up losing your spot in line or whatever. So you should have a pen with you anyway. So cab driving, be careful, you know. Keep your radar up all the time. I just told you I never once felt unsafe. I'm in a communist country 7,000 miles from home. We'd be walking down the street, and I'd look, and they didn't look back at me. But I watched, and I tried to adhere to the customs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was posting stuff on Facebook on my VPN, and then some bitches were posting stuff like Tiananmen Square with the tank, and I deleted it. Because, listen, I was still there.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I was still there, and I'm sure my shit was being monitored.
Right.
All right.
I'm sure your shit's still being monitored.
Okay.
So.
You know, my shit's being monitored in the U.S., but we still have some essential liberties left hanging
some,
on by a
very
thread.
Very few.
But I was over in China.
The chairman isn't watching it.
Correct. No right. Liberties over
right.
There. So I hope some of those tips help you. Now, napping February 12th, 2 days after my birthday, napping will be here. He just finished his last gun law seminar for the year.
Yep.
Okay? We got a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. We got Urban Pistol 1 and 2 in Cedar Grove in November, Urban Carbine 1 and 2 in November in Cedar Grove, Protective Cane at the Gunfire Range November 14th, Protective Pen November 18th. Kelly and I have both taken that, as well as Sandy and Diane.
Yes.
I would never travel without a pen. I had a pen in my right pocket.
Absolutely.
And a regular pen in my left pocket everywhere we went, and it made me feel better. If you're a member of the range or you want a holster draw at my range, November 16th holster draw course. Low Light, No Light Pistol, November 23rd. Quick Clot, November 28th. CPR AD, November 28th. Prepping 101, December 12th. Starting November, become an NRA instructor, range safety officer, or chief range safety officer right here at Gun for Hire. Glad to be back. Can't wait to go away again. Have a nice day.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under License of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barardi. On behalf of my co-host, the returning master trainer, Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, including the now picketed Jose Morales in Philadelphia, PhillyGunWorks.com, PhillyGunTraining.com. We love you guys. Please, each one reach one. You know how important it's going to be in the coming years for us to increase our numbers. If you like this show and you want everybody else to listen to it, please post it on your Facebook, post a link on your Facebook page, use your social media, tweet about it. Everybody, get everybody together. We love you guys. Okay, Winston, it is coming time on the wall. Say goodbye. There you go, my friend. See you guys next week.